message today. But it's funny, as you go around, you hear different evangelists get up and tell all these jokes, get the crowd laughing. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up there and tell a joke. When I tell it, it's like you hear crickets in the background. It's bad, man, especially when it's like 200 people just staring at you and you're like, your joke just like flops and no one's like laughing. It's like, yeah, look like DeMichael. Another thing is when you guys, if you ever want to see a zombie, you guys get called to preach and you come up here, you'll see zombies. Some people are like sitting like back like this. I think I was preaching one time, that guy was like this, his neck was like broken. It's like crazy stuff. I said, if you want to see zombies, you might want to get into preaching. Some people be half dead when you're preaching to them. So, but yeah, it's a little bit of a different message today. More of a topical style message, but this is where I believe God wants me to preach out of. I was preaching out of, I wanted to preach out of Psalm 73, but this is kind of what happened and where God led. So yesterday I was in North Carolina. We drove 8 hours back here and it got back at like 9. So I might be a zombie today. So you might see a zombie, but we'll see if my mind is clear and I can get through this. So it is 10:30 and we might get out a little early today. We'll see. So if you guys will turn to Job, I should probably turn there myself. Let's see who can find Job. Job chapter 31. Verse 1, and if you can find it, once you find it, you can stand. Job 31, verse 1. Pen in my hand. Give it a second, let people find it. All right, Daniel, you ready for some basketball? Can you dunk yet? Looks like DeMichael got taller too. Michael's all tall. My man. George is getting taller. Okay, there you go. Everyone find it. We're almost there. Job chapter 31, verse 1. And the Bible says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? I'll read one more time. I made a covenant with my eyes, mine eyes. Why then should I look? Sorry. Why then should I think upon a maid? Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for all the many blessings you've given to us, Lord. Lord, this is the thought you wanted me to preach on today, Lord. I pray that I do it the right way. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Help me to decrease, you to increase, Lord. As we talk about this topic today, Lord, I pray that you guide me. I pray that you use my words, Lord. I pray that you help us, Lord, because this is something that we all need help with, Lord. Thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we live in a crazy world nowadays. Crazy world. You look around, there's sin all around. But one of the greatest struggles a man will have is the idea of lust. Right. And the idea of just all the craziness that goes around. You look around, the world's getting more and more immodest. Everyone is getting wearing less and less clothes. And it's hard for a young man to walk around with a pure mind. Right. It's hard for a young man in here to have a pure thought life. And that's just the fact. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's a challenge. It's a war. And it's always been, but there's more of a war today. There's statistics that said, and I'm going to talk about some things, and I'm not going to go too deep into things because I just want to give us some background. 87% of men, by the time they reach college, have seen porn, have looked at porn. And sometimes we come to church, we act like this is not a thing that happens. Oh, we're all the Christian guys. But no, there's guys in here that struggle with this issue. Right. There's guys, and you might say, well, I don't struggle with this. You might have that self-righteous feeling, but you probably struggle with lust also in just another form. So we all struggle with this idea of struggling with the things we look at, the things we see. And this is one of the greatest sin struggles that you'll ever face. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to grow in your Christian walk, this will hinder you. Right. This will bring you down. This will not cause you to be able to move forward. The Bible says in Psalms 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Hey, if you hide sin in your heart, God will not hear you.
Right.
God, if you have sin in your life and you allow it to stay there, and this idea of lust, if you allow lust to stay in your heart, God's going to say, I'm not going to use you. Mm-hmm. Why would I hear you if you're just going to keep holding on to that sin of lust? The thing about lust is no one can see it
right.
Besides God. Hey, I can't tell in here who struggles with lust. And I could probably say all of us do. But I can't tell, I don't see what you look at. I don't see the things you think about. I don't see the different struggles you have. But everyone in here has a struggle in their heart. Right. And God sees it. Hey, the thing with lust and the thing with this type of sin is you can get by with it and no one will notice. Hey, but the Bible says when lust hath conceived, bring forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Right.
And we're going to examine this topic in this verse. We'll examine this verse. Then we'll go to a couple places. But as you see in this life and in your Christian life, you see in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, sexual sins.
Right.
Hey, sometimes people are afraid to talk about this subject, but this is the subject that every one of you will struggle with. Hey, the Bible says we should abstain from that. We should get away from that. We should be far away from that sin.
Right.
The Bible says in Matthew 5, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
See, you might not look. You might not say, hey, I don't actually go do any acts of sin in that way. But you think about it.
Yeah.
You have bad thoughts in your mind. And you have those things dwelling in your heart. And you say, you know what the Bible says? You know what Jesus says? Hey, you've committed that sin already in your heart.
Right.
Hey, you're no better than that person that goes and does the act than when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, see, sometimes we as Christians, oh, I don't do that. But we have those same thoughts in our heart.
Right.
And I'm not coming out. I don't want to be something aggressive towards you guys. But I'm talking about an aggressive thing that we need to attack.
Yep.
Something that we need to fight against. And I'm not up here saying, hey, I'm perfect. I struggle with lust just like every single one of you. Brother Tom will struggle with the same thing because we're all men. We all struggle with sin. But the thing is, we need to stand up against it.
Amen.
We need to fight back against it. And today I'm gonna have some points, but at the very end I have a thing that we can all write down. But the very first things we'll be examining is, and this is kind of the title of this message, how in the world where the world's so crazy, where everyone's looking at the wrong things, everyone's thinking about the wrong thoughts, when it's all put in front of us, you look on Instagram, that's all you see, filth.
Yeah.
You go on Twitter, all you see is nakedness, and you see all these things, and you go in your locker room with sports, and all the music's talking about is girls and sex and all that type of stuff. How in the world can you have a pure mind in a world that's so filthy? How in the world can you have a clean mind in a world that's so filthy?
Uh-huh.
And today, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able,
Amen.
But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Hey, see, this world is so filthy. This world is so wicked, but God has provided us a way to escape.
Amen.
We don't have to live in the filth of this world. We don't have to say, you know, there's no way I can do it. How in the world can I do it? The Bible will give us some steps.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible will guide us. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Right.
How can we, as young men, say, hey, I want to have a pure mind?
Amen.
How can we have that? As you begin to examine this verse, it says, I made a covenant with mine eyes.
Right.
I've made a covenant. This idea of covenant is a promise. He made a promise to God. And at this point in Job, he's being accused and he's kind of defending himself. And he's talking about how I've made a covenant with mine eyes.
Yeah.
He said, I've made a promise to God. See, Job was a righteous man. Job was someone that was known for doing right. And Job was someone that we can all look up to as someone as a great example. And this is one of the examples we see in his life. He said, I made a promise to God.
Right.
What is this promise? Hey, we all need to make some promises to God. We need to say, Lord, I'm going to stay pure. Lord, I'm going to have good communication come out of my mouth. Lord, I'm going to be a good man in my school. Lord, I'm going to do what's right. We need to make some promises with
Amen.
God. We see that in Job's life. He made a promise to be a righteous man. He said, Lord, I make a covenant with you. You know what? Who else also made a covenant? David, he said in Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before
yeah.
mine eyes.
Uh-huh.
I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Look up here. He said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes.
Right.
He said, I won't allow that to get in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Job did, he made a promise to God. He said, Lord, I make a covenant with my eyes. The very first thing you see, and these points will be a little disordered, and then I'll come back to something that you can write down. This is just the way my mind was thinking through this. He made a covenant. He made a promise made. First thing you see, a promise made. He made a promise to the Lord. Then we see that this promise to the Lord is a covenant. We see in verse 1, a covenant with mine eyes. His yeah. eyes. What is he talking about with his eyes? He made a promise to the Lord basically against his eyes. This idea is he had a purpose to his promise. Right. He made a promise to God, but there was a purpose behind his promise. Mm-hmm. He realized that, he wanted to do what's right. He wanted to be a righteous man, but you can't be a righteous man with filth going on in your mind and your heart. He realized that, hey, I want to make a promise to God because there's a purpose in this. He goes, I want my eyes to look with purpose. I don't want to let my eyes just wander everywhere they go. I don't want to just have wicked things before me. He had a purpose to his promise. Yeah. When Job says that he made a covenant with his eyes to abstain from lust, he does not mean that he stopped experiencing lust altogether. What he means is that he refuses to dwell upon lust and the feelings of those things. You know what they're saying? Hey, he made a covenant to God that he's gonna keep his eyes away from sin.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that he probably never had a bad thought that came through his mind. Uh-huh. But you know what that meant? He said, I'm not gonna dwell on those things.
Amen.
Look, you know what? In a wicked world, you're gonna see some things you shouldn't see.
That's right.
You're gonna walk around and you're gonna see all sorts of things going around. When I was on the football team in college, I'd walk around and you see guys looking at porn. And there'd be times where I would get a glance of that. But you know what that means? I had to guard my mind.
Right.
I couldn't dwell on those things.
Right.
I had to move on from those things. And in this world, you will see things that you shouldn't see.
Uh-huh.
In this world, it's so wicked. You're going to walk around. You're going to maybe be in the mall and you're going to see something that you shouldn't see. How are you going to react to it?
Uh-huh.
See, he reacted with purpose. He said, Lord, I make a promise to you to guard my eyes. Lord, I might see something, but I'm going to guard them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to keep that promise with you. The reason why he talks about the lust of the eyes, think about this, the lust of your eyes. You know where lust comes in? From your eyes.
Yeah.
You see something, you want it. You see examples. Lot, he gazed upon Sodom and then he pursued that city.
Right.
You see Achan, when he looked upon those materials, he wanted them.
Uh-huh.
He saw it with his eyes that they were good. Adam and Eve, when they saw the fruit, that it was good. That's when they wanted, they saw. You look around this thing, and David, someone who made a commitment to God, someone who said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You know what it is? It's easy to make a commitment. It's hard to keep it.
That's right.
Hey, you might make your decision. Lord, I'm not going to set any wicked thing before my eyes, but when it sets before your eyes, what are you going to do?
Uh-huh.
See, David should have looked away. David shouldn't even have been there.
Yeah.
But hey, he let his commitment slip.
Right.
So today, there's one thing to make a commitment. It's another thing to keep it.
That's right.
Hey, he said, he's going to keep that away from him. David saw Bathsheba and sinned. It started in his eyes. Hey, you know what? Most sins will start from the things you see.
Mm-hmm.
You see something, you want it. Hey, and the lust of sin and that stuff will drive and it brings a stronghold upon your life. I was talking to a man who was a Christian guy, and something he struggled with was the idea of looking at wrong things. See, porn. And you know what he told me? He said, there's one to two things that could change in my life. It'd be the day I saw it.
Mm.
You know why? Because it's wrecked his life. His mind has been destroyed by that.
Mm.
If you've never seen it, don't go there.
Amen.
Guard your eyes. Make a promise to the Lord. I don't want to be in that.
Right.
And we're going to get to it. If you have been involved in it, you struggle with it, you know what? You can get out of that.
Right.
You don't have to stay defeated. He said, we see he made a promise made. He had purpose in his promise. And then lastly, we see his purpose led to protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what his purpose was? To guard his eyes from looking at things he shouldn't look at.
Right.
From to look upon a maid. He said, I'm not going to look lustfully after women. I'm not going to have my mind dwell on those things.
Right.
I make a promise to the Lord to guard my eyes to protect me from sin.
Right.
Today, will you make a promise to God and say, Lord, protect my eyes from sin?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, will you make that promise? See, it's all around us. It's all around us. And we grow up in Christian church. And like, I don't go do those things. But again, what are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
These are all things I need to talk about in my life too. We all need it. I'm not coming up here saying, hey, I'm better than all of you guys. I'm saying I need this just as much as you do. We examine this part. We see Job and his and what he was saying. He made a promise to the Lord. Who else made a commitment? David. David made, he said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And if you don't get there, it's fine. I'm just going to read it. The very first thing is we see something that happened in David's life. David, the man who said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes, something happened.
Mm-hmm.
He made a mistake. what led to his mistake, you see in verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and they besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
See, the very first thing when we're talking about lust, and we're talking about the things we think about, and we talk about temptation, you know when David was not in the place he was supposed to be. David was not where he's supposed to be.
Right.
The first step of you being tempted to look at something wrong, the first step of it will be tempted to think about things you shouldn't be thinking about, is a place where you're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know why? Maybe you'll go into your room and you know you're not going to be strong in your room with just your phone.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you'll go on a certain website and you know, hey, if I think about those things, hey, you know, if I look at those things, I'm going to start lusting in that way.
Uh-huh.
Or if I watch that TV show,
uh-huh,
or if I begin to do these different things, hey, lust destroyed David's life in many aspects.
Yeah.
David lost a baby.
Uh-huh.
His family ended up getting torn apart in different ways.
Uh-huh.
All these different things, we could go through examples, and it was all starting with the thing that dwelt in his mind.
Yeah. That's it.
Hey, he was in the wrong place because he wasn't supposed to be there. God wanted him out there, but he stayed behind. He was in the wrong place. When you begin to struggle with lust, it'll be because you're in the wrong spot.
Right.
You're looking at the wrong things. You're watching the wrong shows. You're listening to the wrong music. You're hanging around the wrong friends. You're doing things you know you're not supposed to do. Hey, that's when it'll start, when you're in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
We see the principle that of Galatians 5:16 right here. 5:16 right here. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
If David was walking in the Spirit and where God wanted him to be, he wouldn't have had a struggle with this lust of the flesh right here. But you know what? When we begin to do things we shouldn't do, we begin to walk in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to fulfill that lust.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't want to look at those things anymore. I want to have a pure mind. I want to do what's right. You got to walk in the Spirit.
Right.
You need to be where God wants you to be. That's being in church, reading your
right.
Bible. That's
right.
Praying.
Right.
That's trying to get involved in church and trying to grow in your Christian walk. That's walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
But when you're not doing those things, you begin to skip church, you begin to do your own thing, you begin to hang around, that's walking in the flesh.
Right.
And that will lead to a place that you're not supposed to be. See, verse 1 is David wasn't where he's supposed to be. Now, verse 2 we see, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. This sometimes... the world's like, oh, you can go do whatever you want. This is important stuff right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is Christian. If you want to be a man that lives for God, this is it right here.
Amen.
How are you going to react to temptation? David walks into a trap because he's not where he's supposed to be.
Right.
Hey, we're supposed to flee youthful lust.
Right.
You know what? David wasn't where he's supposed to be. He didn't have peace. He couldn't sleep at night because he wasn't where he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Hey, he couldn't sleep. So you know what he did? He began to wander.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not where we're supposed to be. We begin to wander.
Mm-hmm.
We begin, our mind begins to wander. We begin to think about things we shouldn't think about. And David's up here at the top of the king's palace, pacing back and forth, and sees something he's not supposed to see. He sees someone that's not dressed appropriately, someone that's bathing. And it says that she was very beautiful to look upon. Here's David. You know what he could have done? He could have fled.
Right.
But you know what he didn't? He was in the wrong spot. He fell into the trap and he dwelt upon it.
Yeah.
He could have fled. The Bible says to flee youthful lust. It says neither to give place to the devil. David gave place to the devil. He didn't flee youthful lust.
Right.
He began to think about it. He began to dwell upon it. So we see he walks into the trap. In verse 3, David dwelt upon what he saw. Verse 3 says, and David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? You know what he began to do? He began to dwell on. Who is this person? He began to research this. He began to think about it. He began to ask questions about it. You know what? The first thing you see, that when sin pops up in front of you, the temptation comes in front of you, you got to get rid of it.
Right.
You got to run away from it. The Bible says to flee. It doesn't say to stand there and fight it. He says to run.
Yeah.
He says to get out.
Yeah.
He says to run as far away as you can.
Mm-hmm.
See, young person in here, I guarantee it, someone's looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at.
Yeah.
And you know what? You might be pushing this off as nothing. But you know what? God's giving you a challenge right here. You know why? He's warning you. Because if you keep continuing down this road, your life will be ruined.
Right.
You know what? There's many guys I could talk to. And there's many people you can talk to that this has destroyed their life. That this has impacted their life. Their mind is ruined. Their mind is filled with filth all the time because this has destroyed their life.
Right.
Don't think this is a joke up here. Mm-hmm. Don't think that I'm up here just to preach a preach. I'm preaching to warn you guys. I work with young people all the time, and this is something they struggle with. Yeah. The most things when I have to disciple people, the biggest struggle that a young man will come up to me and to ask me about is this idea of porn and this idea of having a clean thought life. Uh-huh. You know why? Because it's affecting each and every one of you.
Yeah.
And every person's eye should be glued on me. You know why? Because that's the thing that the devil's going to be using to attack you.
Right.
Look at this. He walked into the trap. He gave place to the devil. He didn't flee youthful lust. And that sin, lust when it bringeth forth, lust when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And look, later on down the road, all the impact because of this.
Yeah.
All because he got away from God in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
He dwelled upon her. He inquired about her. And then David continued down lust road in verse 4 and did stuff he shouldn't have done.
Yep.
But it started with his eyes. Then he dwelt upon it. Mm-hmm. And then he allowed it to get to his heart.
Right.
Then he began to ask questions, and then he was so far down into it, there was no way out. He ended up killing that lady's husband.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He loses his baby.
Mm-hmm.
All these different things because he kept going down lust road.
Right.
And let me tell you, lust road will keep going, and it will keep going,
yeah.
and it will keep going yeah. to the point where your life is destroyed. You know what? There's been youth pastors that are in jail now because they continue down lust road.
Yeah.
And you think you can get away with it? You think you can look at all the things you want to look at? You think it won't affect you? Hey, look up here. Your life will be ruined.
Right.
It'll be destroyed when you keep looking down lust road.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking down today? Lust road? You can write these things down. And sometimes we talk about these things. Well, how can we get out of this? How can we beat this fight? Whether maybe you don't really struggle with looking at those things, but maybe you struggle with the things you think about.
Mm-hmm.
How can we overcome this? Because we talk about it, and I guarantee someone's in here struggling with it. How can we beat this? You know what? It starts with us wanting to beat it.
Amen.
You need to feel conviction in your life. Hey, if you've struggled with this idea, I'm not looking down upon you. You know why? Because almost probably everyone in here struggled with the same thing. I've struggled with different things too. Hey, get out of it.
Right.
Come to someone today. Try to get help.
Amen.
Try to get someone to help you out. The Lord will help you.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with you realizing, hey, I need to get rid of it. I got to say, Lord, I struggle with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep going down lush road, it'll take you places you never wanted to go.
Right.
Very first thing I want you to see, it's an acronym. And I got this from someone, but I think this is really good for us today. The acronym is from Anthem. The word is Anthem. The very first letter is A. How can we beat this sin? How can we get out of this sin? How can we get away from this sin? The first thing we need to do is avoid it. Avoid it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, you can write that verse down. Avoid. Anthem. A. Avoid. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust.
Right.
You know what? Turn there if you have your Bibles. We need to all look at this. You know why? Because some of you are going to go through the motions and you're going to let this slide.
Uh-huh.
And this is your opportunity to get help. This is your opportunity to try to beat this sin and try to get out of this sin. 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, flee also youthful lusts,
mm-hmm.
but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Get away from it.
Right.
You know what that's saying? Avoid. It says to run away from it.
Yes.
You know how Joseph was in a situation. Fellas, you don't have to look at the verse. I'll just read it to you. It says, flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lust. Look up here. Joseph in the Bible was put in a situation where he could have sinned and no one would have known.
Right.
He could have did whatever he wanted to do. But you know what he did? How did he beat that sin when it was right in front of him? He fleed. He ran away. So let me tell you today, when you have that bad thought, we need to avoid it. Well, how do we avoid these things? How can we avoid it? What are we listening to?
Yeah.
What are the things we put in our mind?
Uh-huh.
What are the things we're looking at?
Uh-huh.
Maybe we need to unfollow some Instagram pages.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we need to get some new friends on social media.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to just get rid of social media. Maybe we need to get rid of our internet. Maybe we need to give our phones to our parents at
uh-huh.
night. Hey, maybe what are these things that we need to avoid that will help us in this battle?
Yeah.
Because if we don't avoid it, we're going to fall.
Yeah.
Hey, Joseph, he was put in this situation. He fled and then he avoided it. He didn't go back.
Right.
He didn't run back to it.
Uh-huh.
He avoided it.
Right.
He didn't. We don't ever see him going back to ever talk to Potiphar's wife.
Uh-huh.
We don't ever see, you know why? He avoided the sin.
Right.
He got rid of it. When the temptation came, he ran. He fled. What are the avenues that are going to cause us to think wrong? What are the avenues that's going to cause us to look at things we shouldn't look at? Avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid them. Some of us, we just need to give up our phones for a little bit.
Yep.
Maybe at night when it's time, we need to just Mom, Dad, I'm going to put my phone in here. Hey, what is the thing that you need to avoid?
Mm-hmm.
We will never beat this sin if we don't avoid it.
Amen.
If we don't avoid it. Avoid this situation. We see A is avoid. Then we see the next letter is N. Forcibly say no.
Yep.
Forcibly say no. I think of James 4:7. You can write that down next to it. Anthem, A, avoid, N, forcibly say no. Say no.
Right.
What is this idea? James 4:7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Right.
Think about this. When you submit yourself to God, you're saying no to the devil.
Right.
How do you resist the devil? Hey, I didn't say, hey, in the moment of temptation to say no. I said to flee.
Yeah.
And then when you flee, you know what you need to do is continue to say no. You get out there, you say no. Because you know what? Joseph could have let that thought be, oh, I had the opportunity. You know what? He said no, and that was done. He ran.
Amen.
Hey, don't think about that opportunity to sin. Don't think about that avenue of sin. Yeah. Say no to it. Submit yourself to God. How do you submit yourself to God? Lord, I want to be submitted to you. I'm struggling right now. How can I do this great wickedness before you? You submit yourself to God, and when you resist the devil, when you say no to the devil, that's resisting him.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing I was reading, it says, we have 5 seconds to resist. You have 5 seconds. If you don't say no within 5 seconds, you're going to run back to that thought. You're going to run back to that thing you were looking at. You have 5 seconds. You know what this thing said to do? It said to say no out loud. Maybe some of us just need to say, no, no, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, Lord, I need your help right now. I need your strength.
Uh-huh.
Hey, how bad do you want to beat it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of you don't want to beat it because you don't know where it leads.
Yeah.
And we can get up here and tell you that your mind will destroy you. We can get up here and tell you that if you continue down a lush road, it'll lead you to jail.
Yep.
You'll never have a good family.
Uh-huh.
Your marriage will be in trouble. It'll be struggling because of your thought life.
Yep.
Will you say no? Resist the devil. Think about this. Lot's wife. Hey, she fleed with Lot, but you know what she did? She looked back. She didn't say no.
Mm-hmm.
She looked back. And that thought came to my mind is, hey, you might be running away from it. You're like, I avoided it, but you never said no when the temptation came and you look back to it.
Wow.
Hey, don't flee and forget to say no. Say no. Say no. I'm not going to do it. Devil, get away from me. No, I'm not. Maybe you just have to say it out loud. Say no, 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 no. I need to get out of this. I need to avoid it. I'm going to forcibly say no. You have 5 seconds to resist. Joseph resisted. And he said no. How can I do this great wickedness before God?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, will you say no? Will you say no? First thing is avoid. 2 Timothy 2:22. Forcibly say no. James 4:7. Then we see turn. Turn. Turn your mind forcibly to Christ.
Yeah.
The Bible says, look up, I think it's Hebrews 12:2. I forgot to put the reference down. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us in him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, it says to turn your mind forcibly to Jesus. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to think about Christ. This is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. You know what it says? When temptation comes, my mind turns to God. When Joseph's temptation comes, his mind turned to the Lord and said, how can I do this against God?
Right.
Hey, and your mind, when the temptation comes, train your mind to say, no, I'm going to think about what the Lord's done. The one who went on the cross for my sins. The one who took the beating for me. Who took the nails for me. Who took all those different things.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my mind to Christ.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, if you want to write this down. If you want to overcome this, how can you turn your mind to Christ? How can you do it? It's not as easy as it sounds. But how can you do it? Philippians 4, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Right.
You know what it's saying? Hey, when those wicked thoughts come, think on what's right. Think on pure thoughts. Think on things about Christ and whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report. Think of those things. Change your mind to those things.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Psalms 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Think about God's word.
Right.
The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Right.
How can you get out of this sin? This is wherewithal. How can we cleanse ourselves? By taking heed to
mm-hmm.
God's word.
Amen.
By listening to God's word. Mm-hmm. Hey, we say no. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to turn my mind to Christ. I'm going to think about God's word. I'm going to think about the Lord. I'm going to begin to think about pure thoughts. I'm going to begin to think about things of good report. I'm not going to put in music that's going to cause me to go back down that road. I'm going to listen
right.
to godly music.
Right.
I'm going to begin to think about godly things. Will you say no? And then will you turn your mind to Christ? We see this. T, H, Now we get to H, hold the thought. Hold the thought. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what this is? You're holding a thought. You begin to think about the right things. You begin to dwell on the right things, and begin the bad thoughts begin to come back, and it says casting down. Get rid of them.
Right.
Hey, you beat them down. Get rid of anything in your mind that's going to cause you to think about the things you just thought about.
Right.
Or cause you to look back those things you shouldn't be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the thought. Hold it. For you got to fight as long as it takes.
Yes.
Sometimes the fight is hard.
Yep.
Sometimes it's going to... I talk to guys all the time. I can't get out of it. It's like the biggest struggle I have. I'm trying to get out of it. I feel trapped. That's where it's going to lead. It's going to feel like you're in shackles. You can't get away with it. I was talking to guys... I don't even know if I want to share this, but these guys struggle with so much that they can't even go a week without it.
Mm.
That can be each and every one of you guys. It might be someone in here right now, but you need to decide, am I getting out of it or am I going to stay in?
Mm-hmm.
And in getting out of it is going to be the fight. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a war, because the devil's stronghold upon your life is the things that come into your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, someone in here. The devil, he's got you on a rope right now.
Yeah.
And he's directing you by the things you see. You say you want to live for God, you won't ever be able to live for God with these things in your heart.
That's right.
You can't. It's going to hold you back. And the steps you want to take, it's going to slow you down. It's going to hinder you. But you know what the Lord's doing? He said, I want to get you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you victory. But it starts with you deciding, I got to get out of it.
Right.
I got to get out of it. Hey, we see H... Hold the thought. Fight as long as it takes. E. Enjoy a superior satisfaction. The Bible's in Bible says in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. We need to have more satisfaction in doing things for the Lord.
Right.
See, the devil's trying to get you addicted to something. But you know what we need to do? We need to get addicted to the Lord.
Right.
We need to change our mind. We need to think about the Lord. We need to think about things of heaven. We need to think about eternal treasures. We need to begin to think about the things that Christ wants us to think about. Enjoy a superior satisfaction. Lastly, move to a useful activity. Right here is the final thought right here. Move to a useful activity. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, you can put 12 through 14, just that whole section. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend this one thing I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at here. You want to break out of the sin? You might have already messed up. You might have already fallen into this sin. But it says, forget those things. And move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You might mess up later today. You might struggle. You know what? Get forgiveness. Get out of it and move forward.
Amen.
If you stay thinking about the past, Lord, I can never be used because I used to struggle with that. Lord, I've been struggling with this sin for it seems like so long, and I can't get out of it, Lord. And Lord, I'm doing better now. Forget those things which are behind.
Right.
The Bible says your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
Christ has forgiven you by his blood. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. You don't have to live defeated.
Right.
Hey, we don't have to live defeated. We all make mistakes. We're all going to have a bad thought that comes to our mind.
Uh-huh.
Hey, but you know what you do? You move. You
right.
move forward.
Right.
How do you move forward? Forgetting those things behind.
Mm-hmm.
Forget those things. You know why some people I know that are trying to move forward in their Christian walk, they say, I can't break out of it because I keep falling back, because they keep dwelling on the past.
Yeah.
Stop dwelling on the past and move forward.
Right.
You struggle with it right now. You need to say, Lord, forgive me. Get me out of it. I don't want to ever think about those things again. And Lord, I want to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you will never move forward because you're dwelling on the past. Because you're dwelling on the things you've been thinking about. You know how you'll change your mindset? When you forget those things which are behind. And you change your mind to the thing that's before you.
Right.
Which is pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph kept moving forward.
Yeah.
Hey, right after that, all these bad things happened, but he kept moving forward.
Right.
He could have begun to dwell on those things. But you never see Joseph ever talk about mind struggle. You know why? He moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
Will you move forward? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Think about that. The Bible says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
The Bible says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that we can have victory. Look up here. You can have victory over that sin.
Right.
Hey, how in the world can we live pure in a place that's so wicked? It starts with this decision. I'm going to make a covenant to the Lord.
Right.
To guard my eyes, that I may protect myself from sin, that will get to my heart, that will lead me to lust. Because lust's road will go farther than I ever wanted to take it.
Yeah.
And if you're on lust's road, how do you get out? Hey, it's right here. Avoid. Say no. Turn your mind to Christ. Hold the thought of what Christ has done. Cast down those imaginations. Enjoy superior satisfaction. Change your mind and your actions to having joy in the Lord, being in His presence. Then move on. Move forward to a useful activity. How do you move forward in a useful activity? Forget those things you're behind. Put something in the place of where you struggle with. It might be Bible reading. It might be prayer. It might be calling someone. Whatever it is, move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Move forward. Everyone in here struggles with it. There's no one that's in here that's going to be like, this is the one issue I don't struggle with. And there might be some people in here who struggle more with it. Get help.
Right.
Because if you don't get help, you won't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
You won't beat it. And no one's going to look at you wrongly. And no one's going to be like, oh, I'm never talking to this guy again. No, we want to help you. Brother Tom knows he's dealt with lots of people. I've dealt with people. When I'm in college, I guarantee, like, when someone wants to talk to me about something they're struggling with, 90% of the time it's this.
Mm.
Get help.
Amen.
Avoid. Say no. Hey, turn to Jesus. Hold your thought of Christ. Enjoy superior satisfaction, then move forward.
Amen.
Anthem. Put those verses down. Write those things down. Get help. Mm-hmm. Get help. How in the world can you live pure? You can. It's going to be a fight because the devil wants to catch your eyes. He wants to destroy you. And some of you might be catching your eyes. And he could catch my eye any second. That's why I got to keep going forward. I got to keep fighting. Brother Tom has to keep fighting.
Right.
Every day we have to keep fighting. It doesn't matter how old you are or what your position is.
Right.
You can fall at any moment.
Yep.
Keep fighting. And if you have fallen, get help. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and gets back up. You know what? David is a man after God's own heart. Someone who did all those things. But you know what? He got right. You can get right today too. But don't let the consequences of sin build up so much to where there's going to be a lot of scars. Get out of it now. Get out of it now. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the many blessings you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for another opportunity to be in here, Lord. I don't know why this was the message, Lord. Lord, I pray that if it's someone in here, it's probably all of us, Lord. Lord, we need to get our minds pure. Lord, help us to be a pure vessel for you. Lord, in this wicked world, there's so much wickedness. Everywhere we look, it seems like you can't even walk down the street and have pure thoughts anymore because it's so much in front of us, Lord. But Lord, help us to have strong minds because they're rooted in you.
Yes.
Lord, help us to remember to avoid this sin, to say no, to submit ourselves to you, to resist the devil, to flee evil lusts, to look unto you, Lord. Lord, that we have good, pure thoughts. Lord, that we say no, Lord. I pray that you give us strength. I pray if there's someone in here that needs help, Lord, that we are able to help them, Lord, and guide them to you because we don't help them. We're just going to guide them to you. We're going to show them what your word says, and we're going to try to be the best help that we can be. But Lord, you're the one that they need to turn to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed, guys, as we finish up class today. Very serious and very important stuff, guys. Very vital for each one of us. Keep your eyes closed if you would. I just want to ask, let me just get right to the point. You say, Brother Tom, I needed that. God spoke to me, and I need to work on some things in that area. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I need prayer. Don't be ashamed. Hey, honesty is the first step to getting right. Honesty, admitting it. All right, good guys. Now, as you are sitting there with your eyes closed, ask God, what needs to change in my life? Okay? You can put your hands down, but what needs to change in my life? Would you ask God that right now? And if you need help, listen. If you need to come talk to me, Zach, Tim, however we can help you. But, guys, if nothing changes in your life, nothing's going to change in your life. You keep watching the same thing, talking to the same dudes, getting on the same sites, going to those same pages, I'm telling you, you're going to keep feeling guilty about it. You're going to keep getting beat down by the devil. Devil's going to keep running that same play and gash you every chance that he gets. The devil is merciless. He has no mercy. The devil, when he gets you, gets an advantage on you, he never says, no, I'm not going to hurt him. The devil goes for the kill. Guys, if he's got a foothold in your life, do everything possible now to kick him out. And God can do that. I've seen God deliver young men from this sin. I've seen it. It's great. But it is a battle. As Zach was talking about, it is the fight of your life. So, hey, if you need to come talk to one of us afterwards, please do that. We'd be glad to help you. But as God tells you things you need to change, you've got to work on those. You've got to change them. As I said, if nothing changes, nothing's going to change. Okay? If you don't make practical changes, differences in your life this week, I'm not watching that show anymore. I'm not listening to that music anymore. That friend I hang around that we always get in trouble, we're always talking about wrong things, I'm not talking to him anymore. That's the kind of stuff that you have to do. That's vital. Okay? You're not going to make it otherwise. And then my second question, is there someone who said, Brother Tom, I don't know for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't know for sure that whenever I die that I'm going to go to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not 100% for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that at all? All right. Hey, guys, let me pray, and then before we dismiss, I want you to look up, and I have a couple of tips for you guys. Lord, thank you for these guys. Thank you for class, Lord. Thank you for the strong message from your word. God, always needed and always something that is an issue, Lord, and a problem. And God, as Zach talked about, it can destroy lives, and we've seen it happen. God, please, we want these young men to be pure, be clean, and it is a filthy world out there, God. But Lord, you can give us the strength and you can give us the help to overcome this. And Lord, we want to do that. God, we want all these guys to be pure young men, to have the right thoughts, Lord, to have godly families in the future, blessed marriages by you, Lord, and lives that are exemplary, Lord. And you can do that through every single guy in the room. But Lord, it's going to take some work on our end. And I pray you help us to be willing to do that. And even the tough parts, Lord, even the difficult decisions that we have to make, Lord, help us to do that because we love you and we want to have victory in this area. I pray you would do that. If anyone's not saved, Lord, please, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. We love you. Thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can look up here, guys. Before we let you go, again, let me just reiterate following the